that can be a success. It's not measured by how much you make or how many stores you get into or anything like that. It's just how happy you are with your life and what you're doing for yourself at that moment.
This is the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast, and I'm Lucretia L.C. Thomas. Each week, I'm chatting with some incredible women across all industries and backgrounds who've agreed to tell the truth about what it really means to hustle. It's time for us to be honest, to let other women know that they aren't alone, to share our mountains and our valleys, to practice self-care, and celebrate our wins together. It's time to hear the truth from the women behind the hustle. This is the Girl Behind the Hustle, and I'm your host, Lucretia L.C. Thomas. Hey, girlfriends, it's Lucretia. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. I am happy with everything that is going on. I'm grateful that I'm able to show up week after week with these podcast episodes. It provides me with some sense of normalcy in an otherwise abnormal time. And honestly, they're just very inspiring. I'm grateful for every woman that comes on the podcast and shares their stories and their truths. They're just so inspiring. Today, I am chatting with Andrea Barrera of Gracious Ohm. After experiencing a stressful period in her life while she was working her 9-to-5, she decided, instead of turning to traditional pharmaceutical methods to manage her anxiety and stress, she began looking into holistic healing plants and the healing properties of CBD. This led Andrea across Latin America, researching all sorts of other alternative medicine, and it led her to create Gracious Ohm, which is a CBD-infused beauty brand focused on healing, self-love, and self-care. Listen in as we discuss her personal sacrifices that she has had to make in creating this company, how her definition of success has changed, and her go-to mantra that I guarantee you're going to want to write down and keep it posted somewhere. Listen in.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks so much for being on the show today. Welcome to the Girl Behind the Hustle. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
Thank you. As am I. Thank you for having me.
So tell the listeners, who is Andrea Barrera and what's your hustle?
So pretty much I am a first generation Mexican American, the eldest of three children, and I started Gracious Ohm approximately 2 years ago. It was something that I never intended to start, nothing I really planned out, you know, as I went to college, as I studied in grad school, nothing I had in my mind. So it kind of just came about and pretty much just evolved to what it is now. And it continually is growing and teaching me new things.
And where did the name Gracious Ohm come from?
So I get a lot of questions about it. Basically what I did to come up with the name, and this was, again, back 2 years ago, with me not really knowing how far it was going to grow, just brainstorming names. What I did is I ended up writing a bunch of adjectives on paper of what I wanted my company, my business to be described as. And gracious was a word that really stood out to me because I believe that, you know, in order for a company and business to be successful, they have to be gracious in two senses. One is what they're able to provide the public with, how they're able to give back to the community and the planet, you know, extending from just their physical products, you know, how they're able to just leave, I guess, this earth in a better state that they found it in. So just giving back, so being gracious in that sense. But the other part that really, you know, caught my attention and why I wanted kind of merge the two things together is gracious in the sense of graciousness, because, you know, the fact that I'm able to continue with my company is all because of the people, and, you know, they're the ones that allow for my brand to exist. So just gracious in the sense of how thankful I am for others, you know, supporting me and loving the product and allowing me to live out this dream. And then finally, Ohm, you know, merging those two things together. I was just always fascinated and still am with the significance of om, and you know, apart from the Sanskrit meaning of it, just I guess the science behind it, that if everything is reduced down to noise and vibration, whether it be us or a material object or a piece of grass, it all just comes down to the same vibration, which is the om sound. And I'm just like amazed with that thought. So I just merged the two things together and you have Patience Om.
And so the listeners who may not be familiar with the products that you carry, what products do you currently carry? And why is creating these products important to you?
So the products that I carry, they extend from skincare tools to CBD-infused skincare. So you're talking about moisturizers, scrubs, facial masks. You have tools like a gua sha. For those of you that don't know what a gua sha is, it's a massage tool that can be used for your face or your body. It helps with the lymphatic drainage. It helps stimulate collagen. It helps, you know, all over your body with any relief of tension, any knots. And so the line combined with the tools are supposed to really emphasize the self-care and take you back to a more organic, holistic approach of healing with, you know, stress, healing with your skin, healing from flare-ups, all those things.
But I know you did a bit of research in Latin America when you were launching this company, just about the holistic healing that you mentioned. Can you tell us a little bit about the research that you took place?
So my background is in research. I've always just been gravitating towards, you know, learning, I guess, the fundamental or the root, the most things I, you know, come across. And when I came across, you know, plant healing and plant medicine, it was no different. So aside from, you know, my personal experience growing up in the traditional sense of having curanderas and curanderos, you know, all my life, to actually exploring a little bit outside of that and meeting just these amazing medicine women in Colombia, particularly working, you know, with small indigenous tribes and how they use plants as a form of healing. And the thing is, a lot of it really just comes with internal healing and just fixing yourself, and then the rest just manifests, you know, naturally through other, you learn as you go, but it manifests through other different techniques of healing that you could apply to your skin, that you could apply to your diet, that you could apply to every other aspect of your life. But particularly when I traveled to Colombia, I was working with individuals who kind of just opened my world up to the plant medicine and what it's able to provide us with. So you're talking about individuals who've been studying it since, you know, for generations, and just having that insight and that perspective into how you can incorporate, you know, natural medicines into your life and how you can just pretty much take that journey within yourself and learn to heal yourself. That's something that I really resonated with and wanted to share and, you know, put that out to the world. So that's kind of how I started gaining that information and applying it to my business and sharing it with all my customers.
And what have you learned about yourself while creating this company?
I learned so much, literally from just, you know, my patience. I used to think I had a lot of patience, and I was able to kind of, you know, hold my ground. And I think going into business, especially if you have no background, it does pose a lot of challenges. You're kind of thrown into this field that you're not really well equipped to handle because, you know, your prior experience is somewhere completely different. So you really have to, your patience is tested constantly, and you really have to just kind of reassure yourself that even though this is not somewhere you originally began in, like a field that you are an expert at, you have to kind of just push yourself to believe that you're going to grow with experience. And constantly, there was a lot of, you know, self-talk that I had to, you know, talk to myself pretty much. This is what I have to do. I'm going to make it work. If I don't know, I'm going to ask the questions. But I learned that, you know, besides that patience, I was a lot more determined than I would have anticipated. I really did things that were outside of my comfort zone and really just pushed me to grow as a person, you know. And I think all those things all together, just seeing it from a different perspective, I never thought I would be capable of doing. But, you know, taking a look back now, I've seen that I've just grown in so many different aspects that I would have never envisioned myself, you know, being able to tackle a few months ago or even like a few years ago.
And I know now CBD is more talked about and people know a little bit more from when what they knew when you were beginning your company. You're one of the first to enter the CBD skincare market. What challenges did you experience while you were entering the market?
So many. I think just, you know, within the last year, the niche of CBD and particularly the niche with CBD and skincare has grown a lot. It's become a lot more saturated. I feel there's companies literally just popping in from left and right, creating brands. But, you know, 2 years ago, there weren't any. Their main focus of CBD products were for pain, and it kind of just ended there. There was no skincare line. There was no brand that was focusing particularly on that aspect of healing when it came to, you know, regenerating cell growth, any of that. It was targeted just for pain. And so, you know, kind of going into this arena that is, you know, male dominated, is heavily emphasized on one part of the CBD plant, it was so challenging because, first of all, I had no idea how hard it was to break into the beauty and skincare industry by itself. And now adding cannabis, which was a huge, you know, it still is a controversial topic. The laws attached to them are still kind of, you know, they're being settled. There's no really, as far as like the FDA and how things are regulated, it was very fuzzy, still remains a little fuzzy area. So, you know, just going into this world of CBD skincare, post challenges from, you know, opening up bank account, a business bank account that was going to allow me to process CBD, to promoting. I know Instagram flagged me so many times for, you know, promoting illegal activity, which was really just like CBD products, to learning how to, you know, maneuver the marketing and how am I going to actually show and introduce my product to people if I've never done this before. So definitely a lot of challenges in that. Also challenges with bigger companies that were slowly emerging and were a lot more better funded than I was. I am self-funding my entire company, so I didn't have that support of, you know, I'm going to use this money to promote, I'm going to use this money to, you know, design this or do this other, you know, event. It was just really, I'm going to create the best product I can and hopefully people try it and they love it. And then that within itself would just generate kind of the word of mouth. But yeah, it was definitely a lot of learning, a lot of challenges going into the whole skincare and CBD industry.
And you spoke about being self-funded. How has that process been? And any tips you would give someone who's also looking to launch like a skincare company and going the self-funded route?
It's difficult, but it's not impossible, because if it were, I wouldn't be where I am now. And although I'm not where I want to be, just, you know, looking back, I've made huge, huge progress with Gracious Own. And I think, you know, the best advice is to not get discouraged by not having the funding that one believes is necessary, because at one point I thought the same thing. Like, I would look at, you know, bigger corporations and think, well, there's, you know, no way I could compete with them. Like, what I'm able to put into my company is not even a fraction of a fraction of what they're able to invest in theirs. And, you know, you have to really separate yourself from that thought process, that mentality that you have, because I think, you know, fear really does take over. And financial fear, I believe, is one of, if not the number one thing holding people back when they, you know, are trying to pursue their dreams is that stability. And I, at least I know that was the case for me, you know, abandoning or deciding to remove myself from a career that I worked very hard for, that I was comfortable with, that was financially, you know, allowing me to live a very comfortable life, and just detaching myself from that and taking a gamble was, you know, incredibly difficult. But at the same time, it's something that you have to do, and you have to really just kind of push yourself through that fear and make sure that you're going to live out your truth and you're going to live out your dream, and not just kind of hope and pray that things are dumped for you. But yeah, self-funding is something that is very hard. You really have to take into account a lot of things, you know, how your bills will get paid, how, you know, unexpected expenses as well. Just like any other thing, I kind of compare it often to like buying a house when you're trying to go in and fix it up and you start realizing all these other, you know, things are coming up and you have to come up with the financial means to take care of it. Similar to that, you know, you just have to make sacrifices and, you know, maybe not go out. And, you know, these last 2 years, I tell my friends often, because I really feel like I've isolated myself from them, it's not because I don't want to partake in anything, but it's really because I have to save money and I have to really be careful with how I spend it, what I invested on and things like that. But it's definitely doable. It's just something that requires a lot of hard work, a lot of self-control too.
What do you feel like you've sacrificed, or what may have you lost or feels like a loss while building this company?
I've sacrificed a lot, you know, and just as aside from the finances that I've invested in this, because, you know, ideally in the beginning it was, I had my, you know, my savings, I had my, what I was making out my job and all those, you know, all those investments that I did, you know, all those kind of like you're gambling on yourself, you're gambling on your company. That's one side of thing. The other side of thing would be, you know, just the sacrifices that you make within your family and within your circle of friends. I know that to this day, I haven't been able to take part in a lot of, you know, family activities and birthdays, and my, you know, just, you know, the girls that I went to college with, my circle of friends, like, I missed all of their birthdays this last year. And it's, you know, such a bad feeling that you get, not being able to be present in these, you know, milestones for other people's lives. But at the same time, it's something that I have to sacrifice to make the better choices for my company. And you kind of have to just be okay with that and be okay with people not being okay with it either. At the end of the day, you're building a business, you're building a brand, and that's going to require so much more. So you hope that at the end of the day, those people that matter and those people that love you will be understanding of it, and they won't make the process more difficult than it already is, because, you know, it takes a toll on you emotionally, it takes a toll on you on a personal level, that you're missing out on, you know, these important moments in your life. And I think it's also making sure you have a good balance of it, that you don't just completely isolate yourself to the point where you're unhappy, but you're always just, you know, taking that time that you need to socialize if you need to, but always go back to your grind and go back to your main focus, which is the business.
And you've also experienced some amazing wins with, I know originally your plan was to do e-commerce direct to consumer. I know now you're being carried by Anthropologie. How did that opportunity happen?
Yeah, so in the beginning, it was all through just e-commerce. I started with Amazon and I started with my skincare tools. And again, it was kind of just a way to make passive income. I've always had this entrepreneur mindset that no matter, you know, whether I had a full-time job, a career, I was always, you know, looking for ways to just kind of get that passive income going and, you know, save for a rainy day. So with just almost starting in e-commerce, at that moment, I didn't really have any indication of how far it would go or how I would take it outside of e-commerce, let alone, you know, enter a national retail store. It all happened just kind of organically, like most of my other placements have. It's really just, you know, sharing my product at a pop-up or sharing it with a person that just falls in love with it, falls in love with the product and happens to recommend it to someone else who has them in or knows somebody. Or, you know, with Anthro, it was like, hey, I think I know someone who will love these. Can you just send a package to this person? And, you know, it's kind of just the way it plays out. I feel you're intended to be somewhere. You're going to find a way to be there. And although I wasn't searching for it, it just happened. And with the stores that I'm in now, it's the same thing. You know, I get people asked all the time, like, how did you get in there? And it's like, I just focused on creating the best products that I could, and it just fell into the right hands. And so that's kind of how it continues to happen. And I have these amazing people that, you know, are familiar with people in stores and can share the product for me, but that's never something that I am like purposely setting myself out to do. I focus more on, you know, going to pop-ups and having that direct one-on-one relationship with my customers. But I'm just so blessed and so lucky to have, you know, my product shared with these women who have a say into these stores. That's really incredible.
Yeah, that's such an incredible win. Has your definition of wins and of success changed starting this company?
Yes, 100%. I mean, even just a few years ago, I think if anyone would ask me what success was, I would immediately refer to just, you know, maybe my credentials or maybe the job I was holding and look at that as, you know, this is successful. It's having, you know, a good salary. It's having a reliable job, a job that pays well. But, you know, quickly I learned that that's really not the case. And success to me now is fully defined by your level of happiness, because you can have a job that's, you know, not paying you great, that maybe the hours aren't that great, but you're just so happy there because you're doing something you love. And to me, you're already successful. You're already won if you fall in that category. For me, I have to detach myself from what I raised to believe was success, which was having the stability in my life, which was being socially acceptable, falling within these, you know, society standards of what it took or what I had to achieve by my age. So, you know, having a house, you know, maybe starting a family, like all those notions had to exit my head so that I can make room for what I thought success was. And, you know, it is to me and will continue to be just being happy in what I'm doing. And I could say there was a point that, you know, in my career, I was thrilled and I was excited and I was happy. But over the years, that started fading away. And instead of just pushing myself, you know, and convincing myself that this is what I studied, this is what I went to school for, I had to stay in this field, I really just took that leap of faith and started exploring different avenues and different, you know, businesses and different niches. And it has allowed me to pretty much find that happiness and that excitement for, you know, work all over again. And that to me is success. It's not measured by how much you make or how many stores you get into or anything like that. It's just how happy you are with your life and what you're doing for yourself at that moment.
I love that so much. It's just amazing how those shifts happen as you grow and start working the company and growing the company, how those shifts kind of happen with the way that you actually see success in your life. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know with growing the company, it's extremely big and busy and just so much going on with that. And you spoke about having to make the sacrifices with not being able to attend something for your friends and celebrations. How are you finding time for yourself, and how are you making time for self-care?
So it's funny that you say that, because it's definitely something I have to check myself on. just running a company in general, I think is something that, like I said, is just, it's mentally exhausting. It takes a toll on your body. You really, really have to make that a priority. So it starts eating away at your other habits, and some of those habits are the healthier habits, like your self-care routine. So just because I have, you know, a company that promotes, you know, self-love and self-care doesn't mean I'm always on top of it. It's something that I always have to just strive for every day and just kind of, you know, take a step back and remind myself I have to practice what I preach. And there's moments where I'm just like, okay, I have to do a million tasks, but at this very moment, I really have to just take a step back. And whether it's, you know, taking my dog outside and just decompressing that way, or, you know, meditating before I go to sleep at night, I just really have to always constantly be checking in with myself and seeing where I'm at, because I don't want to get to a point where it just becomes so much that I completely forgot of what my company stands for. But it's definitely something that with every day I have to remind myself, and I have to just make that time and allow it to be okay that I'm not getting things done at that very moment, because the most important thing is taking care of my body, taking care of my needs, and, you know, just my overall, the way I can come out of that is so much better than just continuing working on a level of just stress. So I rather, you know, take those 10 minutes that I need to recharge, and I come out of that, you know, meditation, just, all right, I'm ready to go, let's do this, versus I'm just going to push myself a little more and then I can relax. Like, I just take those breaks when I need them and make sure that I don't prioritize the work that needs to be done over the work that I need to personally take for myself.
And what's next for Gracious Ohm?
So there's a lot of things in the work with Gracious Ohm right now. I feel that, you know, due to the climate of how what's going on today, it really did affect, you know, product launches and events, a lot of things that were or have been planned for many months now. But at the moment, what I'm concerned with, I think, far more than anything else, is just coming out of the situation a lot stronger. You know, I think, like I mentioned earlier, the reason why Gracious Ohm even exists is because of the community. So my priority right now would be, you know, focusing on the community and how Gracious Ohm can give back. And maybe once this pandemic passes by, refocusing on making that physical connection with my customers and sharing all the new products that I'm so excited to share. But it's just taking it right now one step at a time and just, you know, going through the motions that everyone else is going through and seeing how a small business is going to survive this and how, you know, not just survive it, but come out so much stronger afterwards.
Yes, I love it. And so now is the time that we take a deeper look at the woman behind the hustle. So what is a quote, a verse, or a mantra that keeps you encouraged?
Well, this quote has been, like, honestly, one of my favorites for a few years now. It's, take care of yourself and the future will take care of itself. I think it's literally, like, something that I want to remember on the daily, because especially with a small business, you're always concerned or you're always looking towards the future. How am I going to improve? How am I going to do better? What new products am I going to launch? What new stores am I going to get into? How am I going to make new customers? It's always in the future, in the future, in the future. And again, tying it back to self-care, we start neglecting what is going on in the present moment, starting with ourselves. So it really is, you know, just emphasizing, if you take care of yourself, if you really take care of your mental state, your emotional state, your physical state, if you take care of the tasks that are put in front of you at that moment, then the future's going to start building by itself, and it's not going to be a concern. It's not going to take away from your day because you're too busy thinking about it that you're neglecting everything that's going on in that moment at that time. So I think that's definitely one of the quotes that mantras that resonates with me the most, and it has for a few years now.
And it's such a great mantra for just right now, too, because I know I'm you know, worrying and all of that, and just focusing on taking care of yourself and allowing for the future to take care of itself. I love that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, taking control over the things that you do have control over, and the bigger issues, the bigger problems that are out of our control, you know, they're going to resolve. They're going to, I mean, everything is going to come to pass, but what you can control starts with yourself and how you take care of yourself. And then that's going to lead to the way you respond to certain situations. If you're in a good place, if you are, you know, internally just in a very good place with yourself, that's going to show in your decisions and your actions. And that's where you want to get. You want to get to that place where no matter your surroundings, you're going to have a good head on your shoulders, and you're going to react in a positive way, and not just your whole world comes crumbling down because you're unstable. It's going to work out that way.
And what's a tool or app that helps you manage your life or work that you couldn't live without?
So, I think my tools or apps are very basic. My alarm is probably the one app that I need, desperately need. Not just, you know, my waking up alarm, but I tend to set alarms for everything from, like, drinking water to scheduling my meetings, you know, reminders for meetings, reminders for appointments, reminders for just, you know, taking a minute of self-care. So definitely my alarm would be one of them. Another one is my notes app on my phone, constantly just jotting things down throughout the day, reminders again, notices, even things that just pop into my head, new ideas, things like that.
And what book should every girl behind the hustle read?
So let's see. I think if you're, you know, just starting on into business, or you're just curious, or just want to learn a little bit more about how you could, you know, make your life just more, I guess, enriched, I would say Rich Dad Poor Dad is a really good book. If you're trying to better yourself and just grow as a person, I recently read The Four Agreements. I think that's an amazing book that you should probably read once a year. And if you already have a business and just really want more knowledge on how to make it happen, I also recently read Clockwork, which I think is a great book to read for anyone trying to run a successful business. It's kind of like the manual of how to do things within a year and a half, and how to structure your business so that you can make it, you know, pretty much run by itself. It's a great book. I definitely, all those books are
good. I have to check out Clockwork. I've read the first two. They're both really amazing books. I have to check that one out for sure.
Yeah. And if you don't have time, I always tell people, if you don't have time to read, like, Audible is, like, such a good way.
Oh, I love Audible.
It's like listening to podcasts, listening, you know, feed your brain. Don't just, you know, it's definitely something that you just do, and at the same time you're just learning all these things. So it's not, you know, just going on YouTube and randomly clicking on stuff. It's great to, you know, at the end of the month be like, oh wow, I read this, or not read, but I heard an entire book. I learned so much.
Yes, I love Audible. Definitely my go-to. And what song do you listen to? What's your go-to song before a meeting or to kick off your day?
So that constantly changes. I honestly, before a meeting, if I'm just driving to it, it's whatever will be on the radio. I think that also depending on the meetings that I'm going into, a lot of the times I turn everything off and I'm in silence because I don't want to enter a meeting and just have the catchiest song stuck in my head. It tends to be a quiet time before I do any sort of like interviews or meetings. I just like to, you know, reflect on, you know, keeping cool, being able to articulate the point I want to get across or whatever it is. But I don't know. Lately, it's just been more of like happy, upbeat songs. I'm trying to remain in that positive space, especially, like I said, with everything that's been going on. There's no need to kind of get in my field with like a jammer if it's not going to get me in the right place. please.
And fill in the blank. My name is, and one truth about the woman behind the hustle is.
My name is Andrea, and one truth about the woman behind the hustle is I am unstoppable.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Please let the listeners know how they can connect with you.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me and for taking the time to learn about me and Gracious Ohm. Where you guys can find me is graciousohm.com. You could also follow me on Instagram at gracious_ohm. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.